A note to the listener. The following story contains some adult content and language.
Hey, you can't.
I was there.
Calm down.
He drained her, and then he cleaned her, and then he cut her up in that room.
Shh! Hey, please, Dottie.
Adler Harrison killed Marlene Marie Evans in that room, goddammit, and that bastard Leonard Shaw helped him cover it all up. He covered it all up.
That son of a bitch looked me right in the eye and said there wasn't a party. He said she was never in his house. We gotta do something, Ed.
Okay, just slow down a minute.
Not we. Obviously, I can't do anything. I'm not a cop. But you, Ed, you gotta do something. Call someone.
Hank.
Perkins or Slotsky. Call Monty for all I care. But we gotta get back to that house before they get rid of it all.
Hey.
What?
Stop. Huh? Just stop for a second and settle down. Getting all worked up again.
Of course I'm worked up, Ed. It's all right there.
What is?
The drugs, the pad.
Prove nothing.
What? Of course they do. They...
Hey, I need you to stop talking now because I need to ask you some real questions.
Real questions?
Stop talking. Just drink your coffee and settle down. Okay. Now you said he looked you in the eye and lied to you. Do you mean Shaw?
Yes, Shaw.
And this was in his house?
Of course it was in his house.
And how did you happen to be at Shaw's house?
I asked to meet with him to ask him some questions, and Adler arranged it.
Was Adler there when you met with Shaw?
Yes, he was there. He's always there. Ed, this is...
Why was Adler there?
Because Adler is Shaw's doctor. Apparently he's sick.
With what?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I didn't care. What? What? What's the problem?
Okay, I can tell you that the first problem is reasonable doubt. This prescription pad belongs to Adler Harrison, who treats his patient, Leonard Shaw, in the privacy of his own home. There is no reason for this pad not to be there, Hank.
And what about the drugs?
What about them? They're not illegal. And now that we've established that Adler has every right to be there, the same rules apply to the drugs.
Those were the same drugs, Ed.
And you think that Marlene Evans was the only person to ever have them in her system? She's been gone almost 2 years, Hank. There have definitely been other people who have taken and administered those drugs since then.
There was an unconscious girl in that movie because of those drugs. I saw what they were doing to that girl. He's making pornography.
If he's not selling it, then all y'all got is a guy who makes a bunch of racy home movies and nothing more. And you don't even have witnesses, any participants, any victims. So even if you're right about that, you have no way of proving it.
It's all on my camera, Ed.
That's not proof, Hank. And none of this is admissible. Come on. You have a conversation with Shaw, excuse yourself to use the bathroom, and then sneak around his house taking pictures. And then you remove what you think is evidence without probable cause. You didn't witness a crime. You're not in a public place. You didn't even have a warrant. Technically, you lifted a doctor's prescription pad and his patient's pain medication.
This isn't a joke.
Oh, I wasn't trying to be funny. I was trying to be realistic. You got nothing here. I'm sorry. If I were you, I'd just be glad he didn't find you snooping.
No one was awake, and I was very careful not to be seen.
What? You're not making sense, Hank. I thought you said you were there to ask him some questions.
That was the first time.
I thought you said Adler was there tonight.
No, that wasn't tonight.
Hank?
What?
Did Leonard Shaw know that you were in his house tonight?
No.
Jesus Christ. Hank? Tell me you weren't trespassing on his property.
I can't tell you that.
You better try and tell me that, Hank. Because from where I'm sitting, forget thinking straight. You are not thinking at all. You've got to stop all this. Please. Don't you want to go home? Huh? Do you want to see your girls?
Of course I want to see my girls.
Then you better wake up, Hank.
I'm wide awake.
The hell you are. You barge in here in the middle of the night, hooting and hollering like a crime's been committed.
A crime was committed.
Not by anyone you accused. The one committing the crime is you.
You don't believe me. My own partner doesn't believe me.
We're not partners anymore, Hank. Now turn that goddamn thing off.
No.
Hank, you broke the law. You're not above the law. You even telling me that you broke in there. Don't you understand that I can place you under arrest for what you just admitted to me?
But you won't.
Won't I? Why? Huh? Because you're my friend and I'm supposed to turn a blind eye and ignore my duty as a member of the Los Angeles Police Department?
You won't because you know I'm right.
Hank?
No, I am right, Eddie. And it's all there in that damn house. And if pads and drugs aren't enough to put it all together, then I will keep going until I can find enough.
Hank, I'm warning you. No more of this foolishness.
Foolishness? Ed, if I have to beat a confession out of him to put it all together, so help me God, I will.
Thank Dottie for the coffee.
From Vox Populi and the Los Angeles Herald, this is The Angel of Vine.
My old heart ain't gaining no ground because my angel eyes ain't here.
Phyllis told us early on that her mother had kicked Hank out of the house. And over the past 2 months, I listened carefully to try and pinpoint the moment it happened. I didn't expect that Hank would record a knockdown dragout with Lois, but at least some indication somewhere that it had happened. He never did. Ed asking him if he wanted to go back home was the only time the subject was ever mentioned. And based on Hank's current state of mind, I have to say that I wouldn't want him around either. I was thrown by his recklessness. I asked myself, when did Hank Briggs get to the point of beating anything out of anyone? So I assumed if anyone was going to take a beating, it would have been Adler. I was wrong.
Yeah, the great room. Got it. I know where it is. Thanks. Good afternoon, Mr. Shaw. We've got some more talking to do.
And here I was, thinking I would enjoy this flavorless lunch in peace. Adler didn't mention a reprise. I would have hoped to see you in a virgin wool sport coat, or at the very least an ascot. Adler!
He's not here. I just watched him leave.
And he just let you saunter in here?
Wanted to make sure we'd have some good old-fashioned alone time.
Is that so?
You're damn right.
Oh, I'm damn right now, am I? Wow, look who grew a pair of balls since the last time. Now, cut that shit out. What do you want?
You lied to me.
And?
You told me there was no party here that night.
Oh, for the love of Christ. Again? Of course there was a party here. There's always a party here. You knew I was lying to you. You're an even greater buffoon than I'd imagined if you didn't know that. Yes, there was a party. No, I didn't know your dead girl. There, are we done? Yeah, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for you. Now, can I go back to my slop now?
How long have you protected that savage?
I run a movie studio in Hollywood, California. You're going to have to be a lot more specific than that.
I know what Adler does in this house.
Didn't I tell you the last time that you would leave here in a squad car?
Hang it up. Hang it up.
Will you pull a gun on me? In my own house?
Sit down.
You sniveling little shit of a man, I should destroy
Sit
you.
Sit down!
I'll stand if I damn well want to stand.
Suit yourself.
So Adler suddenly grew a conscience, huh? Is that it? Is that why he disappeared? Well, he's been acting a little funny lately. They say gin makes people go insane. So whatever it is that he told you, I wouldn't consider reliable by any stretch.
He didn't tell me anything. He doesn't even know I'm here.
Would you point that damn thing somewhere else before it goes off accidentally?
I was in the house out behind the pool.
When?
That's not important. Only that I was in there. Quite a little setup you've got there.
Yeah, you almost sound as if you were stimulated by what you saw.
You're deranged.
You know, I wouldn't have presumed you to be so delicate. I mean, due to the very nature of your work as a riffraff, you must have encountered worse than a few straps and paddles and cat-o'-nine-tails. Maybe even done worse? Come on. You've never fancied a night of Benzedrine? Hard to earn discipline and a little nipple twisting.
Egging on a man who's pointing a gun at your head is probably not your brightest idea, Shaw. What I saw in there, that's cruelty. It's torture.
Now stop being so dramatic.
Holding women against their will?
I have no knowledge of any women being held in this house against their will, Mr. Bruce.
How can you deny it? The reels were right there on that projector. I saw your little film.
Now, you have nothing to say about the special requests of my clients or what they pay for. Nothing. And if what they request requires 8 or 16 millimeter film, then that's what it requires.
This wasn't Varieties or Stripperama, not Betty Page or Lily Don Burlesque. I saw her. She was unconscious, being played with like some kind of a sex ragdoll.
I don't judge how anyone chooses to test their boundaries, and neither should you. Not bankers, not oilmen, not land developers, and not the women who want to be more than secretaries or perfume peddlers at Bullock's. Whatever goes on in that little playground that's not being done to me or by me is none of my business.
It is your business if it's not their choice.
Don't be so naive. Any woman entering this house did so to either further their career or to maintain it. I've seen thousands come and go over the years, and the only thing that hasn't changed is their desperation. And so what if a few of them happen to get a little roughed up, huh? I'd consider that extracurricular, wouldn't you? It's what they're paid for.
Enough! I saw the operating table. I saw the drugs and the machines, the blood.
None of which was meant for you to see. That's why it's in my home and not in the papers. Get away from me.
What does he have over you, huh? Why are you protecting him?
Let go of me.
Forging alibis, holding him here. How could you let him get away with that? How many more girls are there, Shaw, huh? Two? Ten? How many? How many innocent women have been killed right under your bedroom window? You laugh. Give me one reason not to put a bullet between your eyes.
Adla Harrison isn't a killer. Adla Harrison barely has the stomach to do what I pay him to do.
What?
He's not a killer any more than you're a detective, you lout.
There were instructions how to hogtie captives.
A G-string tie. And they're not captives. How many times do I have to yell? They're participants.
Then what the hell is with the loony bin restraints on the bed? Why the restraints?
The restraints are a completely separate matter and even more than I expect you to understand.
For what then?
Actors dry out in that room. They need somewhere to dry out discreetly. And it's in there. Adler tends to their symptoms and makes sure they don't die in the process. Because I don't need dead actors. It's not good for business. Some have become violent on occasion. The restraints protect Adler. He saves lives. He doesn't take them.
Well, you've got an explanation for everything, don't you?
It's not my problem if you find them unsatisfactory.
But it is your problem. The shakes don't explain the stirrups and the blood.
My God, you're insufferable. Adler is the studio's goddamn insurance policy.
An insurance policy?
Now, you don't have a clue about how any of this works because it's not your world. You break into my home making damn fool assumptions and creating this fantastical storyline to justify your existence. Crawl back under your rock and fester.
No, what insurance policy, Shaw?
Pretty people like three things. Attention, more attention, and having sex fast and loose and often. Too often.
The hell does that have to do with anything?
Birth control, Mr. Briggs. It has to do with the issue of birth control. It's in all of their contracts. No kids. Adler disposes of unwanted pregnancies when necessary. Now, does that explanation satisfy you?
Is that why Adler was in Phoenix?
I don't follow.
When Marlene was found, Adler said he was in Phoenix for an actor who fell off of his horse.
Minerva Strickland. Pregnant by said horse-riding actor. We have an arrangement with North Mount Hospital. Adler was there. I told you, he's not your killer.
So all these tubes and needles and drugs, that's all required for a voluntary procedure? Pentobarbital, secobarbital?
And Miltown and Thorazine, Demerol, Methadone, Percodan, take your goddamn pick. I like to be kept very comfortable.
No, there's too much blood.
I've got the wasting disease. Kidney failure. And a whole bunch of other shit I can't even pronounce and I don't care to learn how to. But I survived the Depression, Prohibition. I survived Westerns and Aqua musicals. I'll survive television, and I'll survive this.
That doesn't explain the amount of blood.
Yes, it fucking well does. There's no way they're bumping an old bastard like me up the transplant ladder. 3 to 4 days a week, I sit in that freezing cold cell for 7 to 8 hours at a time while those machines, those abominations of natural science, they clean my blood, filter out all the fun I've amassed throughout my lifetime, and then pump it back in, spick and span.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I don't fucking care what you believe at this point. And I don't think Adler would appreciate your skepticism. He went through a lot of trouble to make it feel like a legitimate facility back there and not some illegal abortion clinic.
Where did he get them?
Adler's MASH unit used the larger one when they were in Korea. He had it brought here by his army buddies. It wasn't cheap.
It still doesn't explain why there was so much blood.
I bleed more than a fair amount. Adler has to cut into me every damn time. My veins are so damaged from all those punctures, it takes time to stop the bleeding. I don't heal so well anymore. Now, you see? That's a lot of bandages, wouldn't you say? I also piss myself from time to time.
The girl is dead!
No! Stop! I'm calling the police!
You call the police and all of this makes the headlines.
No, none of this makes headlines. It never makes the headlines. Don't you get that yet?
It will if it's being recorded.
You son of a bitch!
Soaked in blood, sheets of it!
It's my blood, goddammit! There were complications with the machine. I don't even know if the goddamn thing works anymore. Adler got that medieval-looking 1940s stand-in thing, and it leaks. It leaks my blood all over the floor. It was my blood. Clearly enough blood to be misconstrued by a dimwit as a crime scene. Your smoking gun is nothing more than hemodialysis and a little bit of sadomasochism, Mr. Briggs. Congratulations. Stalemate. You're now guilty of breaking and entering and attempted murder, and I can't use it against you. A lot of good that does me. Where did you plant the recording device? Where is it? In the couch. Oh, all of a sudden you got nothing to say? What, you suddenly been struck dumb? No more fight left in you?
When was this picture taken?
What?
When was this picture taken?
Last New Year's Eve.
How do you know him?
I've known Samuel Tench for years. Crowd favorite. All those women in a cluster around him? Every party. All hoping to sit for him. To be his next masterpiece. Frankly, I think he was bored by all of it. Damn shame, too. All those women. He could have rivaled Gable for notches on his bedpost. But I suppose just because you've been raised by tramps doesn't mean you have any interest in them. That little deviant had probably spent more time in that damn pool house than I had. Well, where the hell do you think you're going?
I need to go.
If Samuel Tench was a regular at Leonard Shaw's parties, then that might place him there the night that Marlene was murdered. For all we know, he may have even known her. But why not mention that from the start? Maybe the omission was an oversight?
Hello, this is Samuel Tench.
Mr. Tench, it's Hank Briggs.
Good afternoon, Mr. Briggs. So nice to hear from you. News, I hope.
Well, I think I'm just about done, Mr. Tench.
That's wonderful to hear. So? So, was there anything conclusive?
Why don't I stop by tomorrow? Show you everything I've got.
Perfection.
I hope there'll be plenty of tea.
You jest, but of course there will be.
Of course.
Until then.
Until then.
The Angel of Vine is a podcast produced by Vox Populi on behalf of the Los Angeles Herald.
Thank you for listening to The Angel of Vine. If you'd like to support us, please leave us a review and tell your friends to subscribe. The Angel of Vine is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and all major podcast apps. If you don't want to wait for the final episode of The Angel of Vine, it's available right now exclusively on Stitcher Premium, as well as Angel of Vine bonus episodes, extended episodes, and ad-free episodes. Go to stitcherpremium.com/angel and use promo code ANGEL to get your first month of Stitcher Premium free. The Angel of Vine is directed by E. Ryan Martz, written by Oliver Vaquer. Story by E. Ryan Martz, Jason Zumwalt, and Oliver Vaquer. Sound design by Joel Robbie and Matt Tamarello. Produced by Vox Populi in association with Forever Dog Podcast Network. This episode's performances by Joe Manganiello, Alfred Molina, Mike Coulter, Alan Tudyk, Cree Summer, and Oliver Vaquer. Angel Eyes is performed by Desi Dennis Dillon. Piano and arrangement by James Harper. Composed by Matt Dennis. Lyrics by Earl Brent.
From downtown Los Angeles, this has been The Angel of Vine. You'll hear more from us soon.
Oh, where is my angel eyes? Excuse me. Disappear.